Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940.
Always and always I'll go on adoring the glory and wonder.
This is Edward Arnold, and I welcome you on behalf of the makers of Maxwell House Coffee to another hour of entertainment brought to you from Hollywood and starring Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Raymond Walburn, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Tonight's guests of honor are William Gargan and Harry McDaniel. Mr. Gargan was with us last week, you remember, with his grand performance of Joe Terp. Miss McDaniel, as everyone knows, contributes one of the standout performances in David Selznick's production of the year, Gone with the Wind. Now, Meredith, are you serious about this opening number?
I am that, Eddie. In fact, I have prepared a little statement describing it, herewith.
Well, we can't stop him now. Go ahead.
Statement. Cole Porter is generally known as a composer of sophisticated melodies, but I, in my opinion, believe that his simpler melodies are just as good as, if not better. Therefore, we present tonight Meredith Wilson's arrangement of some of Cole Porter's great unsophisticated melodies. To bring out the simplicity of these melodies, one of them will be sung by I and Edward Arnold. Pretty good statement, eh, Ed?
Yes, well, I don't think I need to add anything to it all, you know. Let's go.
See me spooning with my little cutie by the old seaside. For when once we get the proper setting, we begin a petting and go on a petting till we end by getting such an awful wetting from the tide. First we talk about that and this a bit, then we walk about and hug and kiss a bit till we finally find a place where we can hide. Then, until the crowing of the chickens, Eddie and Marie proceed to raise the dickens by the old seaside.
I've got my eyes on you, so best beware where you go. I've got my eyes on you, so don't stay too far from home. Incidentally, I've set my spies on you. I'm checking up all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise, keep your eyes on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like you to meet at this time one of the featured players of Gone with the Wind. And I know that all of you who have seen the picture will never forget her wonderful performance. Miss Hattie McDaniel.
Hattie, I saw Gone with the Wind the other night, and I thought your performance was wonderful.
Mr. Arnold, I never had so much fun making a picture in all my life. Playing the mammy of Miss Lee was just about the biggest thrill I've ever had. She is the sweetest woman. Don't you think she was wonderful, Mr. Arnold?
I certainly do, Hattie.
And that Mr. Clark Gable is Red Butler. You know, of all the people in Hollywood, he is just about my favorite actor.
Oh, go on. You know, they tell me it took over a year of actual shooting to make the picture.
That's right. It was a lot of work, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I sure did.
But I know that many millions of people who are going to see Hattie McDaniel's grand performance in Gone with the Wind in weeks to come. But now I would like you to have you hear her do something a little different from Scarlett O'Hara's Negro Mammy. We're presenting Hattie McDaniel and an all-star Negro cast of in an old revival scene. Strike up the band. Meredith?
Gospel train, I'm coming. I hear it just at hand. I hear the car is rumbling and rolling to the landing. Get on board,
little chillin'.
Get on board,
little chillin'.
Get on board, little chillin'. There's room for many or more. The fare is cheap and all can go. The rich and poor are there. No second class aboard this train. No difference in the fare. Then get on board,
little chillin'.
Get on board,
little chillin'.
Get on board, little chillin'.
Brothers and sisters, Sister Hattie McDaniel has a word to say in behalf of myself, which I'm sure will be of great interest to the entire congregation. Sister McDaniel.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Brother and sister, I come to you on behalf of our good deacon here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to speak a few words on a subject the good deacon is reticent to say for himself. We love our deacon, ain't it so?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless you, sister.
Brother Jones, you love your deacon.
I sure love my deacon, sister.
When he caught you stealing a melon at Brother Smith's patch, what did he do?
Well, he preached me a sermon, sister.
He cleansed your soul.
He cleansed my soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Then what did the deacon do, brother?
He divvied up the melon with me.
That's just like the deacon. Just like the deacon. Always sharing everything with everybody.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, brothers and sisters, the deacon shares everything with everybody. Why, when Brother Washington was playing dice down in an alleyway and the deacon caught him with $2.50 winnings, what did the deacon do? Did he make Brother Washington give that money back? No, sir. He cleansed his soul, then took 50% of the winnings for the church. He shares everything with everybody. Praise the deacon.
Hallelujah, deacon.
Bless you, sister.
Let us raise our voices in song in praise of the deacon.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
David was a shepherd boy. He killed Goliath and he shouted with joy.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
Joshua was the son of Nun. He never stopped till his work was done.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Little David, play on your harp.
Hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
My good brothers and sisters, we all know the great good the deacon does. How he healed the sick, how he helped the poor. I never forget when my first husband was ill. The good deacon was by his bedside night and day, cleansing his soul, so that now he is resting in peace.
Amen.
Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, an emergency has arisen. The good deacon is on the threshold of a great and wonderful experience. Once again, the deacon is about to enter into the holy grounds of matrimony.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! But the collection plate has been mighty slim pickings these last months. And the good deacon is pressed for monies to properly carry on his good work. Brothers and sisters, in behalf of the good deacon and representing the congregation, I think it is only fitting and proper that we do the same with the deacon as he does with us. Share everything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, brothers and sisters, when the plate is passed, put in a little something extra for to buy the deacon a nice wedding present.
Yeah.
Now, don't be stingy. Mm-hmm. Remember, he is our deacon, and he deserves the best, as does his wife to be. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, sister.
Who the deacon, why marry Miss McDaniel?
I is happy to announce the same. He is marrying me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let us rejoice. Come on, brother.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Yes, Warren.
Eddie, I hear you did a little celebrating the other night.
Yes. You see, it was our 11th wedding anniversary, so Mrs. Arnold and I decided to step out and give a dinner party. Caviar, filet mignon, crepe Suzette, and we had them all, you know.
Yeah, that sounds pretty luxurious, Eddie.
Well, you should have seen the check. Well, it was delicious.
And the
coffee.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, it was perfect. As perfect as the rest of the meal. But, of course, good coffee is one luxury you can enjoy not only on anniversaries, but every day of the year.
That's right, Eddie. Good coffee is within the reach of every purse, every day. In fact, friends, if you haven't tried the new Maxwell House coffee, you'll discover you can afford an even greater measure of coffee enjoyment than you may ever have known before. You see, we've found a way to blend Maxwell House to a new perfection of flavor, a full-bodied, mellow flavor that comes from a very special kind of coffee. Choice Highland-grown coffees with a rare goodness unlike any other coffees in the world. And then to bring out the true natural goodness of this matchless new blend, we developed the uniform radiant roast process, which roasts each coffee bean evenly all the way through. No chance this way of weak coffee from under-roasting or bitter coffee from cut, parched coffee beans. So if you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, ask for a pound tomorrow, won't you? Like thousands of other people, we think you'll discover coffee at its best is not a luxury, but something everybody can afford to enjoy in every pound of Maxwell House, in every cup, good to the last drop.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce's Baby Snooks. Well, Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has laid up with a cold and has converted his bedroom into an office so he can catch up with his work. Mother is staying with Aunt Sophie for a few days, and naturally, Snooks is running wild. As the scene opens, Daddy has just put little Robespierre to bed. Listen.
Snooks! Oh, Snooks!
Here I am, Daddy.
I just put your brother to bed, and I noticed a strange lump on his face.
You mean his nose, Daddy?
No, I don't mean his nose. It's a swelling on his cheek. Looks like a bruise.
Does it?
Yes. Now, you've been playing with him all day. How did he get it? Go on.
We was playing a game to see who could lean the furthest out of his crib.
Well?
He won.
That's a fine game to be playing with an infant. You're a perfect little savage.
Is that good, Daddy?
No, it isn't. Now, I want you to get undressed by yourself and go quietly to bed.
Aren't you going to put me to bed?
Not tonight.
Why?
Because I have too much work to do. Besides, my secretary will be here any minute.
The pretty one, Daddy?
No. I discharged her.
Why?
Well, I decided to get a man secretary instead. He's much more efficient, he's a very fast stenographer, and he can spell a good deal better. That's why I got rid of that girl. Understand?
Uh-huh. Mummy made you do it.
Yes, it makes my blood boil. You mind your own business.
I didn't say nothing.
Well, go on to bed. And don't disturb me for the rest of the night.
I'll answer the door, Daddy.
If it's my secretary, bring him right up here.
All right. How, mister?
Good evening. Mr. Higgins is expecting me.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. May I come in? My name is Dripcan.
Dripcan?
Yes. Is it all right?
I think it's awful.
Oh, I mean, is it all right to come in?
Uh-huh. My daddy's in the bedroom.
Who is it, Snooks?
It's Mr. Drip Grinders here.
Oh, hello, Dripcan.
Good evening, sir. I hope you're in the pink.
Yes, I feel pretty good. Take your things off and let's get started. And you run along to bed, Snooks.
What you want to do, Daddy?
I have to dictate some letters.
Are you going to write to Mummy?
No, this is business correspondence. Now, let me get to work.
I'm ready, sir.
All right, take a letter to the Dump Brothers. Gentlemen.
Daddy!
What is it?
Where did Mummy go?
Well, if you must know, she went to stay with Aunt Sophie. Aunt Sophie just got a new baby.
Why?
Go to bed. All right, Dripcan.
Yes, sir.
When did she get the new baby, Daddy?
Yesterday.
What did she do with the old one?
She still got it. Gentlemen, received your...
Daddy!
What do you want?
I want to go see Aunt Sophie.
You can't see her for some time.
Why?
I just told you a new baby came to her house. And you can't go there yet.
Why?
She's not feeling well.
Is it catching?
Now look here, Snooks. I want you to leave this room at once.
I won't bother you, Daddy.
Well then, don't let me hear a single peep out of you.
Not even a little teeny weeny peep?
Not any kind of a peep. No peeps at all.
No peeps?
No. All right, Dripcan.
Any burps?
Will you stop that? What have you got, Dripcan?
Dump Brothers. Gentlemen received yours.
Last shipment of number 7's in good order. This shipment, however...
Daddy!
Yes?
What's a shipment?
It's an order of goods.
Does it come in a ship?
No, a shipment doesn't come in a ship. It comes in a car.
A shipment comes in a car?
Yes.
Well, what comes in a ship?
A cargo.
Huh?
That's right. Anything that comes in a car is called a shipment. And if it comes in a ship, it's called a cargo.
Why?
For the same reason that you prune a fig tree and pare an apple. All right, Dripcan.
Excuse me, sir. May I laugh?
Go ahead.
Do it again, mister.
Never mind that. Now, let's get on with the letter. Now, I'm warning you, Snooks. You'd better not interrupt again. Not a single question, understand?
Understand.
Very well. Read what you've got, Dripcan.
Gentlemen, received your last shipment of number 7's in good order. This shipment, however...
does not come up to specifications as per your invoice number 183564. Our branch manager...
Daddy!
Snooks, you promised not to ask any questions.
Just one, Daddy.
Is it important?
It's very important.
Well, what is it?
Does a chicken lay an egg when it wants to, or must it?
Oh, leave me alone. Now, look, this time I'm serious. If I hear one more peep out of you, I'll tell you good.
No more peeps, Daddy.
All right. Now, what the dickens did I do with that invoice?
I think you dropped it, sir. I'll take a peep under the bed.
Huh?
Is it there?
No, I don't see it. Let me have a peep at those papers on the night table.
Hurry up. And peep under those envelopes.
And I'm fair, Daddy.
What are you talking about?
You let him peep all he wants, but I can't peep at all.
Oh, you simply gotta go to bed.
Oh, I found it, sir. Shall we continue?
No, no. Let that letter go. I've got to get this kid off to bed first.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Snooks.
Come on, tell me a story.
I haven't got any time for stories.
Oh, a nice quick one.
All right. Did you ever hear the story of the end of the peacock?
No.
It's a beautiful tale. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, what are you yelling about?
It's too quick. Tell me about Pinocchio.
Okay. There was one... Excuse me, Dripcan.
Oh, certainly, sir. I know how it is.
You don't know anything.
No, sir.
Tell me a story, Dad.
All right. Once upon a time, there was a man named Geppetto, and he ran a puppet show, and one day he got a wonderful piece of wood.
Who did?
Geppetto. He got this wood and started to carve a little boy.
With a knife?
Yes. He hacked away at the little boy, and...
Did it hurt him?
Hurt who?
The little boy.
There wasn't any little boy. He was only a piece of wood.
Geppetto?
No, the little boy. Well, when Geppetto had it finished, the wooden figure suddenly began to talk. And Geppetto didn't notice it, but his nose was 6 inches long.
Geppetto's nose?
No, Pinocchio's nose.
Pinocchio?
The little figure that Geppetto carved. But he had a terrible habit of...
Who had?
Pinocchio! Had a terrible habit of telling lies. And Geppetto told him that...
Told who?
Pinocchio! Now, don't you interrupt. Because he told so many lies, he grew a nose 10 inches long.
Who did?
Pinocchio!
Oh, excuse me, sir.
So his nose got so long that Geppetto had to keep whittling it off.
Who went knows, Daddy.
Oh, that's enough. Now, you're going to bed. I've got letters to write.
Now, I want to write a letter, too.
No.
Possibly, if you let her have the pen and ink, she'd be quiet, sir.
Are you married, Ken?
No, sir.
Then don't talk like a fool!
Yes, sir.
I want the painting, Daddy.
Oh, all right. Here, write your broken-down letter. Write to Mommy.
You tell me what to say.
Dear Mommy, I've been a very naughty girl all week.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed the baby out of the crib, and I wouldn't let Daddy work.
And I'm spilling the ink all over me now.
Oh, Snooks! Why have you done that?
I don't know.
Add a P.S. to your letter. Dear Mommy, I went to bed crying tonight.
I ain't crying, Daddy.
You ain't in bed yet. Take that! Let's go, Drip Can.
Yes, sir.
Continue our good news program with one of the season's loveliest songs. And I know, after you hear Meredith's arrangement of it, you'll agree it is really thrilling. My Prayer.
Tell me the world.
That was wonderful, Meredith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with...
Eddie, here's the telegram I just came in for you.
Oh, thanks, Ron. Stick to me, son. You'll wear diamonds.
Anything important, Eddie?
Oh, I should say so. This is a wire from the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah?
Uh-oh. They're after Deacon Walburn. Where is that swindler? Hey, Deacon. Hey, so, Deacon!
So you just think about that, Miss McDaniels, and if you decide to buy the policy, you just let me know.
Deacon Walburn, when it comes to insurance, include me out.
But, Miss McDaniels, you know that insurance is a great boon to humanity.
I ain't no humanity, Mr. Walburn. All I know is I've been paying life insurance for my husband for 25 years, and I'm quitting today.
Well, what for?
He up and died 10 years ago, and I just can't scrape up that premiums no more.
Deacon? Hey, Deacon, come over here.
Well, what's your foot, Benvenuto?
Well, never mind that, Cellini. Were you just trying to sell some insurance to Miss McDaniels?
I was trying to do her that favor, yes. I've been in the insurance business now for some 6 months.
Have you got a license?
No, I haven't.
Well, don't you know that you can't sell insurance without a license?
I knew I couldn't sell it, but I didn't know why.
Listen, you small-time gimmick merchant. Things are getting pretty hot around here. Take a look at this telegram.
Oh, thank you. Oh, from the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
An admirable organization, Edward. My dear Mr. Arnold, an associate of yours uses the name of Walburn. Well, I like that. Walburn has been swindling dairy farmers with a scheme for increasing milk profits.
Ah-ha! Bilking the milkman.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Why, mine is a legitimate enterprise.
I'll read the rest of it. Go on, read it.
It should also interest you, Mr. Arnold, to know that this Walburn person is using your name to further his nefarious enterprises.
Well, what are you going to say for yourself?
Well, now, Edward, I knew you'd stand behind me.
Oh, sure, with a baseball bat.
But, Edward, there's nothing wrong with my proposition. You've seen those signs on milk trucks, families supplied?
Yes.
Well, did you ever buy any children from the milk company?
No, but that's not the idea.
All right. If they can get away with that, there's nothing the matter with my proposition.
Well, what is your proposition?
I don't like your attitude, Edward. You're behaving sort of, well, as if the scheme was fraudulent, visionary, and harebrained. Why, what could be more practical, more economical, more downright humdrum than pumping milk direct from the cow's faucet to the kitchen spigot?
And you think that's practical, huh, Deacon?
Why, it's a pipe. Remember, Eddie, they laughed at Edison when he invented the talking machine.
What's Edison got to do with this? Did he ever try to play a record on a cow's horn?
No, and I'm not trying to milk a phonograph. Besides, I didn't ask you to invest in my company.
Look, Deacon, I'm fond of you. I hate to see you taking the wrong road so late in life.
Oh, but Eddie, I...
Now, let me finish, please. Let me finish. You're a man of ability, talent, charm, and what's more important, everybody around here loves you.
They do?
Of course they do, Deacon. But you can't imagine how it pains your friends when they hear of these petty chicaneries of yours.
Well, I don't know how I get into those things, Eddie.
Deacon, I understand. You're looking for excitement. You don't really want to cheat anybody.
Well, that's right, Eddie.
Of course, old friend. You know you're not going to live forever. There's still time to straighten out.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, of course there is, and I prefer to remember you as a high-minded, generous, square-dealing man. The little chapel is crowded with your friends. I can hear the eulogy.
Was my end peaceful, Eddie?
Like the flight of a meadowlark. When I heard the mournful bells in the steeple, a choking lump rose in my throat.
You really cried,
Eddie. Oh, bitterly. You don't know how bitterly. But that was nothing. You should have caught me at the grave. When they tossed the flowers on top of the...
Stop it. I can't stand it, Eddie. I'll turn square, honest I will. Oh, but when the spirit of evil moves into my heart, it's mighty tough to get him out.
No, it's not tough, Deacon. Do as your landlord does. When the spirit of evil moves in, dispossess him.
Dispossess him? I'll do that. I'll do that, Eddie. I swear I will.
That's the real Walburn. I'm proud of you, Deacon. I tell you what, I'm going right out now and wire the Better Business Bureau and clear up the whole thing.
Oh, that's fine, Eddie. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Edward. Thank you.
No mention it.
Yes, I feel better already. I I feel like a new man. But how? How can I make amends for my past misdeeds? Oh, by George. The very man, yeah. Oh, Mr. Willard.
You calling me, Mr. Walburn?
Yes.
Wilson, two L's.
Oh, yeah. I beg your pardon, Mr. Wilson. About that $300 that I took from you in that gold mining deal, it wasn't much of a mine, and I'd be glad to take it off your...
Oh, Mr. Walburn, I couldn't sell it back.
Well, why not?
Well, I sold it today for $5,000 cash.
Well, I want you to understand, Mr. Wilson, that my intentions when I sold you the... $5,000?
Cash? Here it is, yeah, all in hundreds.
Yeah, so it is, so it is. Excuse me. Dispossessed. 5,000 smackers. Dispossessed. 5,000 mackerel. Well, that's that. Mr. Wilson, Wilkins, if you'd care to have dinner with me tonight, I can put you on to a very good thing.
Another investment?
In the dairy business and sound as a cowbell. Just look at the signature on this wire.
The Better Business Bureau. Are they in on it?
Well, could you ask for a better recommendation?
No, sir.
I'll take you in as a full partner for $5,000. And you should make at least, well, half a million.
Boy, will Peggy be surprised.
Yeah, that's... Well, don't you tell her anything about this.
No.
You just meet me at dinner tonight, eh?
It's a date.
All right, I'll see you at the Derby, over the way. Would you give Eddie Arnold a message for me?
Sure thing.
Tell him that fellow's moved in again. But I can't dispossess him now. No. He paid 6 months' rent in advance. Goodbye, Mr. Whistler.
Say, Warren.
Yes, Eddie.
Warren, you seem to have missed the cue tonight.
Well, what cue, Eddie?
Well, isn't that wonderful fragrance of freshly brewed Maxwell House your cue for our famous Thursday evening custom?
Well, no, sir, Mr. Arnold. That's my cue tonight. Land sakes. Ever since the days of the old showboat program, I've been waiting for another chance to serve you folks with some more of this delicious coffee that's good to the last drop.
Thank you, Hattie McDaniel. And friends, wherever you are, all over America, we wish all of you could be with us right now to enjoy one of the steaming, fragrant cups of Maxwell House coffee that Hattie McDaniel is now serving. But perhaps you're ready to observe this friendly custom of ours right in your own home. We certainly hope so, because here comes Meredith and the music that goes with it. We pause briefly for station identification.
This is Edward Arnold. Again, we continue our Good News Maxwell House show with a delightful one-act play by Paul Raphael. This sketch was presented 2 years ago on Good News, and ever since then, we've had received so many requests from our listeners who want to hear it that we take real pleasure in presenting it, especially with two such fine performers as we bring with you tonight. William Gargan and that charming actress, Lorene Tuttle. The curtain music, Meredith.
Scene, the attic apartment of Ken Larkin, one of the many unemployed actors in New York. Kay Larkin, Ken's wife, and Miss Jones, their cat, are awaiting Ken's arrival.
Oh, hush up, kitty. You're not hungry. Just had some mackerel an hour ago. Drink your milk.
Hello, dear. It's that man again.
Oh, hello, Ken. What was that noise?
Huh? Noise?
Yes, kind of thumping noise. As if someone were dragging something along the hall.
Well, I don't know, honey. Unless it was my wooden leg.
Don't be silly, Ken. What was it?
I don't know. I didn't see anything. I'm a stranger here myself.
Ken, you can be such a... Oh, Ken. Did you...
No, honey.
Oh. Didn't you even get to see your agent?
Oh, sure, I saw him.
What did he say?
There might be a part for me in a play going into production next month.
Next month? Oh, well, something else will break. You're too good an actor to... Are you hungry, Ken?
Hungry? No, not very.
Well, you better eat something. You went off this morning without even a cup of coffee.
Yeah, no, I was in a hurry.
Well, I'll fix you something. I know. I'll fix you some cream mackerel.
Some what?
Some cream mackerel.
Oh.
What did you say?
I said, oh.
I know you said, oh. It was the way you said it.
The way I said, oh?
Yes.
Oh.
Just what did you mean by it?
Oh, oh, it's an expression.
An expression meaning what?
Well, if you must know, it means I dote on cream mackerel, my pet, but,
Go on.
But do you think it's right to rob the cat?
Well, I'm trying to stretch things out just as long as I can. And if I get things to eat that the cat can eat, too, it's just because
All right. Now, don't get excited. Maybe it's a good idea. In time, we may have to eat the cat.
Well, if you think for 1 minute that I like doing... Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so nasty all the time, but I...
I know, honey. I guess things have gone on for so long, they've made us both a little crazy.
Well, I'll fix you some coffee. Oh.
Another O? What's the matter?
I forgot.
Forgot what?
Ken, they turned off the gas today.
They turned off... Why, the... Oh, well, never mind, honey. We can get our meals on the electric grill for a few days. You don't mind, do you, honey?
No, I don't mind. Only
what?
Only they turned off the electricity, too.
What? Why, that's an outrage. We're only 2 months behind. I'll call him up and tell him exactly what
Oh, no, Ken. You better not.
At least I'll have the satisfaction of... Oh.
Yes. They disconnected the phone, too.
Well, this is fine. Supposing somebody called me for a job. Supposing...
Oh, never mind, Ken. It'll work out somehow.
I wouldn't mind, Kay, if only... Oh, but tomorrow's your birthday, and here we are... Me without a job and you...
Me exactly where I want to be.
Oh, honey, you're sweet.
Yes, I know. And winsome, too. Ken, you sit down for a minute. Read the paper or something. I'll be right back.
Hey, wait a minute, Kay. Where are you going?
Just down to the delicatessen. Why, Ken, what in the name of heaven are these?
Oh, I was going to tell you about them in a minute or two.
Ken, darling, what are they?
Well, they're a surprise. I got them for you for your birthday.
You got them for me for my... Yeah. Ken, what are they?
Stilts.
Stilts?
Yeah, you climb on them and walk around and look down on people.
Ken, what on earth?
Well, I said to myself, you never know when Kay might take a notion to go out walking on stilts, I said.
Ken, you idiot. Tell me this minute what these things are doing out here.
All right. But come on in and shut the door before the landlord sees us.
Oh, yes.
I don't suppose he really would throw us out for a month's rent, though, do you?
Well, don't try to change the subject.
Did you ever see me put a curse on a landlord, Mrs. Larkin? First, I draw a circle on the floor. Then I leap into the air, revolve 3 times, constantly frothing at the mouth. After
Ken,
that, I...
stop it! Well, what about the stilts?
Oh, yes, the stilts. Well, oh, they can wait. I've got something else to tell you. Okay? Tomorrow we celebrate.
Celebrate?
Yeah, your birthday. With an 8-course dinner. Soup, salad, steak, mashed potatoes, everything. With a cocktail before, mince pie afterwards.
Oh, Ken, and not really. How?
Well, I get the dinner and a dollar for doing a little job for somebody.
A job? What kind of a job?
Well, it's a kind of an advertising job.
Oh, Ken, I think that's wonderful. Who for?
For Mammy's old Southern Dixie Carolina Plantation Dining Room.
Who?
Maxie's Elite Restaurant.
Oh. Well, Ken, I think that's wonderful. Only, Ken...
Yeah?
Has your job for Mr. Maxie anything to do with the stilts?
Well, in a way, yes, it has.
Tell me.
Well, it's a dinner, Kay, and a dollar besides, and it won't be so bad.
What do you have to do?
Well, there's a kind of a sign that goes with the stilts. It's very smart, really. There's a very beautiful and lifelike picture of a roast chicken on one side of it, and
Ken.
You just stick your head between two pieces of cardboard and
Ken.
Oh, now, look, honey, don't take it that way. I wouldn't have told you about it.
You, a swell actor who's had his name up in lights.
Only in Brooklyn, honey. And the play only lasted 2 weeks. Please don't cry, Kay.
I'm not crying because of that.
Well, then what are you crying for?
I'm crying because you're so brave and wonderful.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are, too. You're brave and you're wonderful.
Oh, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
All right, then. I'm brave and I'm wonderful. You want to make something of it?
Oh, darling, you're such a fool. Besides that, you're kind of crazy.
All actors are crazy, my pet. They'd have to be or they'd go mad.
Let me go, Ken. Oh, dear, I must look a sight. I'm going to powder my nose and get my hat and coat.
Sure, you'll... What? Oh, wait a minute, Kay. You don't think that you're going to...
Of course I am. You don't think I'd let you go alone, do you? Why, you might fall off those things.
Oh, I won't fall off. As a kid, I was the champion stilt walker in our neighborhood. Besides, I practiced on them this morning in the alley.
Well, I'm going with you just the same.
Kay, you don't understand. I've got to walk up Broadway on them.
Broadway?
Yes. Well, don't look like that, Kay. Nobody will know who I am. Mr. Maxey has very kindly provided a costume and mask to go with the stilts.
I'm going. There's no use talking. I'm going with you.
Okay, don't be a sentimental idiot. It's just a job. You're making something else out of it.
It's not just a job. It's something you're doing because of me. Well, I'm going, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am.
Well, you're a cussed, pig-headed, perverse, and obstinate female, and... I love you. Come on.
Look, Mommy. Look at the man. Isn't he funny?
Hey, you. Hey, you up there at Ghost Things. Move along. Can't you see you're collecting a crowd? You guys, give me a pen. Now, move along with you. Go on out of here.
Don't mind it, darling. Think of the steak and the mashed potatoes and the mince pie.
Look at that guy, will you? Guess you gotta be pretty flat to do that for a living.
Hey, didn't I tell you to move on to those things? You're blocking traffic here. Now go on, beat it.
Don't mind it, Ken. Don't mind them, darling. It'll soon be over. Wait a minute, Ken. I'll light the candles. All right. You can close the door now.
Well, I guess that was one of the best performances I ever gave, my sweet.
Yes, Ken.
I always told you I'd be a big hit on Broadway. Tired, Kay?
Just a little. Are you?
No, I feel swell. Kay?
Yes?
Do you mind an awful lot?
Mind?
Well, it's being your birthday tomorrow and us not having a... Kay, I got you a little present. I was going to wait to give it to you, but...
Oh, Ken, you shouldn't have. What? Oh, Ken, it's the doorbell. It couldn't be a bill collector at this hour.
It might be. Wait a minute.
Yes? Who's there?
Is this Ken Larkin's apartment?
Huh? Mr. Larkin, he's not here.
Huh? Well, where is he?
I don't know where Mr. Larkin is. I think maybe he's dead.
Dead?
Anyway, he's a move away from here. If you want to collect the bill,
I'm not collecting any bills. I've got a job for Ken Larkin. If he's not here, where can I find him?
A job?
A job!
Why? It's Mr. Allen. Oh, come in, Mr. Allen.
Yes, come in, Mr. Allen.
Why, Kay, this is Mr. Allen.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it's Mr. Allen.
Well.
Mr. Allen produced that play I was in Brooklyn last year.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Well, do come in, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
Sit down, Mr. Allen. Oh, don't mind the candle. You see, tomorrow's my birthday.
Your birthday?
Yes. You see, it's just a funny old custom of Ken's mine. The night before my birthday, we burn candles. Nothing but candles the night before my birthday.
Yes, yes, nothing but candles.
I see.
Won't you have a cigar, Mr. Allen, or, a cigarette, or, I guess we're kind of out of cigarettes. This is my wife, Kay, Mr. Allen.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is our cat, Miss Jones.
Oh, I think it's so nice you dropped in, Mr. Allen. I think it's so nice.
Yes, so nice.
Yes. Well, I can't stay a minute. I just took a chance on finding you on my way home, Larkin. I've been trying to get you on the phone all day.
Oh, I've been trying to get me on the phone?
Yes, your phone must be out of order or something.
Oh, you don't say. Well, we'll have to complain to the company about that.
Yes. Well, I've got a part for you, Larkin.
A part. Oh, a part! Oh! You mean in a play?
Yes, we're going into rehearsal next week.
Well, of course. You always were my favorite producer, Mr. Allen. If you think I'm right for the part...
Well, it's a funny thing. I'd almost forgotten about you since that play you did for me last year. But the minute I saw this fellow, I thought of you. And right away, I knew you were perfect for the part.
You saw this fellow?
Yeah, a fellow on stilts. Advertising some restaurant or other. I saw him walking down Broadway. For some reason or other, he made me think of you.
He did.
Yes. Yeah. You see, I've got to have a tall juvenile for this play, and something about this fellow on stilts made me think of you. And right away, I knew you... Oh, but I said that before, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Well, I've got to be running along. I'll see you at my office tomorrow. Oh,
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
A happy birthday to you.
Bravo, Bill Gargan and Loreen Tuttle. And now my favorite songstress, Connie Boswell. And incidentally, she's Columbia University's favorite singer of popular songs, too. Their paper, The Spectator, gave her that honor this past week. So for them and everyone, Connie sings a new song based on one of Victor Herbert's most charming melodies, Indian Summer. Connie Boswell.
Summer, you old Indian summer, you're the tear that comes after June time's laughter. You see so many dreams that don't come true. Dreams we fashion when summer time was new. You are here to watch over some heart that is broken by a word that somebody left unspoken. You're the ghost of a romance in June, going astray, fading too soon. That's why I say farewell to you, Indian summer. Leaves come tumbling down around my head. Some of them are brown, some are red. Beautiful to see, but reminding me of a faded summer love. You're the ghost of a romance in June, going astray, fading too soon, leaving me this way, lonely, with just the past to haunt me. I say farewell to you.
Set the stage for the next scene?
Sure thing, Eddie. Friends, let's make believe we're at the grocer's. At the counter, we find Baby Snooks and Daddy shopping with Bill Gargan as the grocer. Listen.
Daddy!
Just a minute, Snooks. I've got to get some things from that shelf.
Can I talk to the grocer?
And go ahead. Don't get into mischief.
All right.
Hello, little lady. What can I do for you?
I want 2 pounds of butter.
Yep.
5 bottles of milk.
Grade A?
Mm-hmm. 1 pound of bacon, 2 bottles of mustard, and a bunch of bananas.
Okay.
How much is that?
Well, now, let me see. That comes to exactly $2.04.
$2.04?
That's right. Shall I wrap the stuff up?
No. That's my homework for tomorrow.
Hey,
what's the idea?
What's going on here?
Snooks, I told you to stay out of mischief.
I didn't do nothing, Daddy.
Oh, the kid's all right. Have you got everything you want, sir?
I think so. Total this up, please.
Daddy?
Yes?
What's in this barrel?
Those are mixed nuts.
I want a mixed nut.
Well, take one.
Is this a mixed nut, Daddy?
No, that's a filbert.
Is this a mixed nut?
No, that's a walnut.
Well, which is the mixed nuts?
The whole barrel is full of mixed nuts.
Why can't I find one?
Because there's no such thing as a mixed nut. The whole barrel is full of mixed nuts. But no single nut is a mixed nut.
Do you feel all right, mister?
I feel fine. Do you want some of them nuts?
Uh-huh.
Well, go on. Grab a handful.
I don't wanna.
Oh, what's the matter with you, Snooks? He says you could grab a handful.
I don't wanna.
Kid's a screwball. Here, I'll give you a handful.
Oh, thank you, mister.
Snooks, I don't understand. Why didn't you take a handful when the man told you?
Because his hand's bigger than mine.
Add up my bill, please.
Yeah, sure.
Why, Snooks. Snooks, what are you doing there?
I'm pounding some holes in these cans.
Oh, what on earth for?
They're Maxwell House coffee cans, ain't they?
Well, certainly they are.
Is that coffee on the other shelf?
Yes, but that's coffee that's packed in ordinary containers. Can you smell the coffee?
Uh-huh. But these Maxwell House cans don't smell like anything. I want to smell that pretty Maxwell House smell.
Why, Snooks, don't you realize we've spent years developing our super vacuum can just to prevent that wonderful Maxwell House flavor and goodness from escaping into the air and wasting away? Well, some people may be willing to pay for the coffee fragrance they smell at the grocer's, but our customers want it in the cup. Yes, friends, we think too much of those superb Highland-grown coffees we blend into every pound of Maxwell House to let one bit of their wonderful flavor and goodness escape. That's why, unlike ordinary ways of packing coffee, which allow air to enter and steal away coffee flavor, we take Maxwell House, still fresh and fragrant from the roasting ovens, and pack it in that familiar blue super vacuum can. No air can get in, so no flavor can get out. Maxwell House comes right into your kitchen with all its original flavor and fragrance sealed in. None wasted. So if you want more flavor per cup and more cups of fresh, full-flavored coffee per pound, ask for Maxwell House tomorrow, won't you? Just remember, with Maxwell House, you're getting coffee that's not just days fresh, but roaster fresh. And no coffee can be fresher than that.
For the the past 10 weeks, Meredith Wilson has presented 10 fine new American compositions in classic form, which we feel have contributed to the lasting wealth of the world's music. Tonight he pays tribute to a man who wrote much beautiful music that has lived on through the years. 100 years ago this year, Peter Tchaikovsky was born. This year, the world honors his art. His melodies have become so popular, many of them have found their way into the songs of the day. Meredith Wilson brings you his concert hall presentation of Romeo and Juliet by Tchaikovsky. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you a real treat and a real surprise in addition to Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks and the rest of our gang. And here's another great announcement. The following week, January the 25th, Good News brings you Alice Faye, Richard Green, Brenda Joyce, and a brilliant cast in stirring scenes from Daryl F. Zanuck's 20th Century Fox production, Little Old New York. I know that you'll enjoy both programs. So it's a date for next Thursday. And until then, this is Edward Arnold bidding you good night.
This is Warren Hull inviting you to get acquainted with another grand product brought to you by the makers of Maxwell House Coffee. It's Log Cabin Syrup, America's favorite table syrup. Leading grocers now feature Log Cabin Syrup at a new low price, the lowest in its history. So get set for a swell Sunday morning breakfast of golden brown pancakes, crisp bacon, Log Cabin Syrup, and Maxwell House, the coffee that's now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
I've Got My Eyes on You is from Broadway Melody of 1940. This is the National Broadcasting Company.